afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Banca Sistema first half 2021 results conference call. As a reminder, all participants are on listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Gianluca Garbi, CEO of Banca Sistema. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon to everybody. I'm here with Carlo and Ilaria. As usual, I make reference to the presentation that has been made available to all the participant. I'm starting with the result at glance in the page two of the presentation. The first thing is, let me say that we are very proud of the good commercial performance that we have also during this second quarter of the year, where the factoring turnover was up 15% on a year-on-year basis. We are still seeing that the tax receivable turnover did not increase, and without this component, the other component will have increased 23%. The CQ outstanding is up on a quarter-on-quarter basis as well as on a year-on-year basis. The pawn loans reach 83 million in term of outstanding, which is an increase of 4%. We continued to originate loans guaranteed by the government for client of our factoring activity, and the stock has reached under 34 million at the end of the second quarter. The net interest income end up to be at 38.5 million, with an increase of 15% on a year-on-year basis, which has been supported as well by the pawn, as well by the pawn broking activity, the SME guarantee, and the lower interest expenses. The availability of extraordinary public fund led to some early repayment in some sector, but that has not changed dramatically the situation on the performance of the public administration. We have registered a lower funding cost on a year-on-year basis at 0.5%. The total income end up to be at 50.3 million, with an increase of 9%. Recurring cost of risk is equal to 46 basis points. The 4.1 million are the loan loss provision, which are up on a year-on-year basis due to a single position that we already have discussed on the first quarter, and that has had an impact of 2.4 million. An additional 1.4 million, which is only related to the time value that we have adjusted, taking in consideration a lengthening of the expected collection time of position under conservatorship of Citi. That means that we will expect to collect a bit later due to this lengthening of the position. At the same time, we will expect to have more late payment interest coming with the collection. The total operating cost has increased mainly to the consolidation of the pawn broking business, as you know, that after the purchase of Banca Intesa division on the pawn broking activity. The net income end up to be at 8.5 million, and I would say that this is substantially in line with the last year if we exclude the non-recurrent items that affect balance sheet on the first half of this year, but also in a positive way on the first half of last year. Moving to the next slide, as you can see, the factoring outstanding trend shows a slight decrease on a year-on-year basis, and this is driven by two main effects. One is the less turnover on tax receivable. We continue to see that even though the economy is recovering, the invoiced amount did not generate yet tax credit to the size that we are used to see in the past. And then we have experienced some, as I said before, faster collection from some cities in particular, which doesn't mean a change on the attitude of the public administration, but simply the government put forward additional resources, mainly to cities that were closer to distress, and even in the last support to the economy, they add 660 million for cities that are in a potential and possible future distress. From the last quarter, we have split the comment on commercial performance into slide. So moving to the next slide, number four, as you can see, the CQ turnover was stable on a year-on-year basis. I think that here is important to notice the better performance on a year-on-year basis on the direct component, which now represent 20% of the total. As you remember, our strategy was to invest more on this direct distribution of the CQ rather than acquiring portfolio. And the division is working to strengthen this, the number of agent and intermediary network. We recently also have announced an increase a substantial increase of new agents that join the Banca Sistema network for the CQ. And thanks to an organic growth of the Pronto Pegno, we register a 4% growth in terms of outstanding. In the second quarter of this year, in line with the strategic plan, we have opened also new branches, a new branch in Brescia, and we have reached also an agreement with the Cassa di Risparmio di Asti to buy their portfolio, and we open and also a branch, of course, in Asti. Historically, the third Q shows a robust growth in terms of volume, but less auction because of the summer period. As we said in March, when we presented the strategic plan, we are glad of the diversification in the CQ and the pawn loans because we have now registered some negative trend of the last 12 months since we have started to talk and we see the consequence of the COVID. Now, let me leave the floor to Ilaria for the next slide. Ilaria.
Thanks, Gianluca, and good afternoon to everybody. As usual, from slide 5 onwards, we cover the financials in more details. I'll first comment the balance sheet. As shown in the table, total assets are down 6% versus year-end 2020, and in particular, loans at amortized cost is now 2.7 billion and is stable versus year-end as a result of the following. Factoring assets are mainly are down mainly due to faster collections and the portfolio mix with lower average duration. CQ loans are up 3% thanks to the good origination over the first half, and pawn loans are up 7% thanks to the good business performance as well. The outstanding of the SME loans has significantly grown in the first half with 134 million credits in the balance sheet at the end of June. Govies portfolio now amounts to 639 million and is significantly down year on year with an average duration of 30.4 months, higher than in the past. On the liability side, due to banks' quarter-on-quarter increase is driven by interbanking, while the ECB funding is stable at 737 million. Due to customer quarter-on-quarter increase is mainly driven by the increase in current accounts that has more than compensated the decrease in repos as a consequence of the Govies portfolio reduction. Term deposits are substantially stable. Debt security quarter-on-quarter decrease is due to the redemption of a 19 million private placement, the repayment of 37.5 million Tier 2 bonds that was executed simultaneously to the issuance of an additional Tier 1 for the same amount, and finally, to a lesser extent, to the reclassification of 8 million additional Tier 1 under the item 140 of the liability side of the balance sheet. Shareholders' equity therefore includes, since the second quarter, 45.5 million additional Tier 1s, where the bulk is the 81 newly issued. We now move on to the next page to discuss P&L. In line with the first quarter, the main factor driving the comparison between the first half 2020 and the first half 2021 and the first half 2020 is the different perimeter of the pawn loan business. We start analyzing interest income. First half interest income is up 4% due to higher contribution of pawn loans and SME loans. Factoring now represents 62% of total interest income, which is slightly less than its relative contribution in the financial year 2020 and slightly lower in absolute terms year on year. Higher LPI contribution has compensated lower contribution from tax receivables. Going more into details of the LPI contribution, we register the following. The contribution of LPI from legal action is equal to 12 million compared to the 9.1 million in 2020, and LPI registered a strong performance in both accrual and extra collection components. Since the last presentation, a more detailed information on LPI has been moved to the appendix, so you can refer to that for a comparison over time. The contribution of the CQ business line has been slightly up quarter on quarter, but down year on year due to a larger than expected impact of early repayments. A lower interest income in the quarter has been reflected on adjusted income margin reduction year on year. As already indicated, since the past quarter, we started to see a significant contribution of the pawnbroking business, also thanks to the acquisition. Indeed, the contribution to total interest income of this business line has been 2.7 million versus half a million in the first half last year, with a higher adjusted income margin versus the end of 2020. In line with Q1, the margin of the pawnbroking has been confirmed above 15%, which is by far the highest among our three business lines. Total adjusted income margin was stable year on year as factoring and pawn loans have compensated the decrease in CQ margins. It's worth noting, however, that CQ margins are stable quarter on quarter while factoring margins are slightly lower quarter on quarter. We now move on to total income on slide 7. First half total income is up 9% year on year, driven by the increase in net interest income. Indeed, NII increased by 15% as a combination of a 4% increase in interest income and a 27% decrease in interest expenses. Total funding cost is 0.5% and is lower year on year in both the retail and wholesale component. Net commissions are down year on year due to lower factoring contribution that has not been fully compensated by higher commissions in the pawn loans. Other income includes 1 million gain from the sale of a factoring portfolio and 2.8 million from the Govies portfolio activity. The contribution of the Govies portfolio was overall lower than last year as the contribution to the NII was significantly lower. In the pie chart at the bottom of the slide, we represent, in line with the most recent earnings calls and the strategic plan presentation, the breakdown of the total income contribution of the three business divisions. The factoring division continues to represent the lion's share, although its relative weight has decreased with respect to year-end and also last quarter in favor of pawn loans, in line with what we envisaged in the strategic plan. The CQ contribution to total income is pretty much unchanged with respect to past quarters. Now we discuss cost on page 8. We do not have much comments to add with respect to what we already highlighted in the first quarter. Indeed, total operating costs are up year on year, mainly due to the consolidation of the pawn loan business unit. Personal expenses are up year on year due to higher number of FTEs following the acquisition, and as well administrative expenses. In addition to the pawn loan cost increase, administrative expenses are higher in the first half as we've registered higher servicing costs and advisory expenses. D&A is also up due to the rental cost of pawn loan branches. We now move on to the next slide on funding. On funding, there isn't any relevant change to represent in terms of our funding strategy since previous quarters. Cost of funding, as we said, is equal to 0.5%, which is lower year-on-year and stable quarter-on-quarter. The one thing that is worth commenting on the funding is that the wholesale component has further decreased in percentage terms since last quarter, reaching now a 36% relative weight. The most recent decrease is due to the combination of different dynamics occurred in the second quarter, which are in particular the maturity of the 90 million private placement, the replacement of the Tier 2 bonds for 37.5 million with additional Tier 1s for the same amount, the reclassification of 8 million outstanding AT1s mentioned before, and finally the reduction in repos as a consequence of a reduction in the Govies portfolio. ECB funding, as we mentioned, is stable quarter on quarter. Retail funding increased quarter on quarter, both in relative terms and also in absolute amounts, thanks to the increase in corporate current accounts. Now we turn to slide 10 to discuss asset quality. As you can see from the top left table, gross non-performing exposures is down quarter on quarter due to the past due decrease related to factoring. As you remember, we've had an increase in past due in Q1, driven by an introduction from the 1st of January of the new definition of default. As foreseen during that call, in the second quarter, we managed to reduce part of the increase registered in the first quarter. Within the gross NPEs, we've changed the classification of some exposures from one bucket to another. In particular, exposures versus municipality in conservatorship have now been all classified as bad loans, following the recommendation of Bank of Italy, while in the past, most of them were classified as unlikely to pay. As a result of that, there has been an increase in bad loans and an equivalent decrease in UTPs. The new classification was not prompted by a different assessment of the probability of recovery, neither by deterioration in creditworthiness, which means that the business appetite versus exposure towards municipalities might enter the conservatorship process has not been affected by this change. Loan loss provisions in the first half are equal to 7.8 million and are up year on year compared to the 5.1 million last year. The higher than usual provisions are a consequence of the amount already registered in Q1 for 4.1 million, of which 2.4 million were one-off provisions already discussed and also mentioned just mentioned by Gianluca, and of new provisions for 3.7 million set aside in the second quarter. Of that amount, 1.4 million can be considered non-recurring as they are related to a fine-tuning of our estimated collection times for positions versus municipalities in conservatorship. These one-off provisions will be, however, compensated, as Gianluca mentioned, by higher collection of LPIs, which are currently off balance sheet. As a result of that, first half cost of credit risk, considering the above-mentioned provisions as non-recurring, stands at 46 basis points. In line with the last results update, we continue to represent in details our exposures to municipalities in conservatorship that, as we've just said, are now all classified as bad loans. As you can see in the bottom left table, such exposure amounts now to 130 million in total and has slightly gone up in the last 6 months. In the bar to the right, we represent the amount of LPI related to those exposures, which is now 60 million. That, as stated many times now, are off balance sheet as not eligible to be considered within the accrual perimeter according to our accounting policy. I now hand the floor back to Gianluca for his final remarks.
Thank you, Ilaria. So let me turn to the last slide 11, relating to the regulatory capital. The Core Tier 1 ratio and total capital ratio, of course, are well above the minimum requirement. The Tier 1 ratio benefit from the replacement of the Tier 2 bond with an additional Tier 1 bond for the equivalent amount. Let me only conclude that we expect higher result for the second half of the year, driven by further growth. And let me also say that in the month of June, we have closed an inspection that we have received from Bank of Italy. So I will leave the floor to the audience for question.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Christian Carrese of Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Hi, Gianluca. Thank you for taking my question. The first one, I would start from the last statement that you did, the Bank of Italy inspection in June, just to understand if you have booked in the quarter already some additional provision to take into account, maybe some indication by Bank of Italy, or should we expect some additional provision in the second part of the year. The second question is on dividends. Maybe I missed in the press release, but I wanted just to be sure that the dividend payout for 2019, 2020, the DPS $0.17 will be paid by the end of the year, or there is any change on that. The first question on margins, in particular on CQS, there was the Lexitor Court of Justice decision, then there has been the Sostegni-Bis decree. If you can elaborate a little bit on these two items, if there will be any impact in terms of fees, going forward or for the past loans already issued. And finally, on cost of risk, we saw some extra provision in the first half. We saw bad loans going up, but the credit worthiness is not deteriorating. I was wondering if you can give us an update on cost of risk for 2021, what you are seeing and what are your expectations for the full year. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Christian. Yes, about the Bank of Italy inspection end up in June, and we have followed the informal recommendation of the inspector, so we do not expect any adjustment on the second half of the year coming from the request from the regulator. As also been mentioned, and this answer also to the last question on the cost of risk. On one end, one of the requests was the reclassification of the city in distress from bad loans to from unlikely to pay to bad loans, which is for us is the same RWA, so it's under 50% RWA. Is more as a formality as far as we can see, because at the end is still city under distress, and so the credit worthiness of this counterparty do not change. So we expect to collect 100% of the capital plus the LPI associated to that. One of the other changes that we have made was related to the time value. We had adjusted the time value on the city under distress, which is a one-off adjustment. And this one-off adjustment, if on one end create some additional provision because of the time value. On the other hand, if will end up to be true that it will take more time to collect, we will have more late payment interest at the rate of 8%. So on the bottom line of the P&L, we will make more money rather than less money. As been mentioned before by Laria, if you look at the perimeters of the city under distress, we have today under 30 million that are in this category, and there are 60 million of late payment interest that has been already accrued, but there's not any single penny of these 60 million that is in the P&L. So this means that there are all money that will be collected when the payment will be made. And these under 30 million are accruing an 8% implicit LPI. One of the things that to add to that extent, which I think that is very relevant, not for the size, but for understanding this concept of LPI, in the second quarter of this year, we have done the first ever transaction on selling only LPI related to city under distress. So basically, we have found an investor that was keen to buy part of this late payment interest that were connected only to city under distress. This means, in other words, that the 60 million that doesn't appear in our P&L, that doesn't appear anywhere in our balance sheet, have a market. And today we know also the fact that we can eventually even sell this type of LPI. Clearly, we don't have any interest, necessary interest to do it, because we are very happy to have an 8% yield associated to Citi. So we do not expect at the end to have a cost of risk that will increase on the second half of the year, but we stay within the 50 basis point that is in line with our plan. In terms of dividend, we didn't make any further announcement, so means that the General Assembly of Banca Sistema have already approved the payment of the 2019 and 2020 dividend as soon as the regulator will have eventually lifted their restriction. This had happened last week. So unless there will be any request, because under the statement from Bank of Italy is written that Bank of Italy will have a dialogue with banks on an individual basis in light of the process of the annual process of the SREP, which haven't started yet for us. If nothing change from October, we will be able to distribute the dividend without going through the General Assembly, because the General Assembly have already approved it. In terms of the third question about the CQ margin, the effect of Lexitor, on one end, I think that the situation of Lexitor has been cleared up thanks to the Decreti Sostegni, so now it's clear that the fee connected to the upfront do not have to be returned to client. Let me say that for us was not a big deal in a sense that Banca Sistema started to originate directly only 2 years ago, so we don't have much background or backlog of this type of request. In the portfolio that we have purchased from other seller, for other intermediary, the responsibility will have eventually end up to be in the end of the seller, because clearly we did not collect upfront fees, but were originally the originator that have collected that. But now I think that is good for them, that they don't have to return this money, and good for us in a certain way, because clearly being the owner of the credit today, we have also been involved with many complaints from retail that we have to manage. So was from an operational standpoint was quite time consuming. Going forward, I think that the market has moved more and more into a yield that include all the upfront cost. So our view is that we continue to maintain the split between the yield, the interest, and the fees. Even though take into consideration the prepayment, we will make an impairment on the amount of the upfront fees that, based on our experience, will have to return to individuals. So that means that this will be neutral for us, because if, as usually happen, a large percentage of those individuals will renegotiate the CQ loan, and we have to return the upfront fees, we have already put aside those fees for them to be returned. So I do not expect that will create anything, certainly not from the past, because we were not there in the past, but not also for the future. In general, I think that we do expect a slight increase on the yield, because even though that the change of law have resolved the problem of the past, on the other hand, they have confirmed the fact that those fees have to be, the upfront fees have to be returned to individuals going forward, and this means that is an additional cost that has to be taken into consideration, and we do expect that the market will reply a little bit, not much, but maybe a few basis points, just to take that into consideration.
Thank you, Gianluca. Very clear. Just a clarification on community assessed or conservatorship. We saw the loan loss provisions booked in the first half. Look at the moving parts at top line level. Do you expect some rebound in the second half? So looking at last year, do you expect total revenues to be more or less in line with last year, up or down? And if you see that there is a lack of revenues, are you prepared to sell some of the LPIs you got in your book?
As I mentioned, we have a nice treasure of LPIs in our book, both in cities that are not under distress, as well as in cities that are under distress. So we are able to use on an opportunistic way in order to make sure that at the year end we are able to generate the revenue that we would like to generate. So I do not rule out that we may sell some of the LPI just to be in line with our target.
Thank you.
The next question is from Manuela Meroni of Intesa Sanpaolo. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, and thank you for taking my questions. The first one is on the factoring. The outstanding declined by 3% quarter on quarter. Tax receivable are not growing. So I'm wondering if you can share with us the outlook that you have on factoring business, both in terms of volumes and margins going forward, and if you expect to see some increase in tax receivable within the end of the year. The second question is on cost. Cost declined a bit in the second quarter compared with the first quarter. If you can please comment on that, and if we can take the second quarter cost as a guidance for the next two quarters. The third question is on the cost of risk. First of all, I would like to know if the reclassification of municipalities in conservatorship had an impact on loan loss provisions in this quarter, and if we can assume that the cost of risk in the second half 2021 may be in line with the first half, excluding the non-recurring items, so close to 46 basis points. On the new definition of default, I'm wondering if the process concerning the new definition of default has been concluded, or we may expect a further impact in the next quarters. And finally, on your last comment concerning the second part of 2021, you stated to expect an improvement in profitability. I'm wondering if this improvement can be significant, so if the second part of the year can be significantly above the first part, and if you can please elaborate a little bit more on what are the levers to achieve this improvement.
Okay, let me take some of the question. Maybe most of them, I will leave only the second one to Ilaria about the cost. Factoring on standing tax receivable, yes, there is a decline of factoring on standing, even though there was a significant growth on the turnover. The outstanding has been reduced because of tax receivable, as well as because of some speed up of payment from public administration, and that was the cause of the reduction of the outstanding. Now we already have seen even on the first month, so we are already at the end of July, some recovery on the tax receivable, so corporate are starting to probably increase the amount of invoice. If they increase the invoice, then there will be tax credit to be sold. So, and tax credit have a duration that is longer than the commercial factoring. So, in other words, that means that the outstanding will go up if we buy asset with a longer duration. It's also fair to say that in the first part of the year and also the end of last year, because of the uncertainty on the new definition of default, we have been we stay a bit cautious on asset where we know that the duration and the payment was too long, just to avoid to have too much risk of being obliged to apply an under 50% RWA. Now, and that's an answer to your third question, whether the new definition of default has been concluded. Let me say that it seems that it's a very complicated and very legal-driven interpretation, counter-interpretation, and so on. As I said, we have received an inspection from Bank of Italy. Clearly, we had the possibility to exchange views also with the regulator. And so what we have applied now has been applied under the direct on-site supervision of the regulator. Whether this means that anything is concluded, let me say, I hope so. I hope that we have reached a good point of interpretation. Whether there are still a point outstanding that could be subject to interpretation in favor or not in favor, because I would say that it goes in both directions. And let me add, more in the direction that could be in our favor, because everything that was not in our favor probably has been already embedded in the, while the regulator were on site. So we think that probably we can have a situation on the following months that remain pretty much stable in terms of interpretation of the new definition of default. The cost of risk, I confirm what also said in before, we expect that in the second half of the year we remain with the cost of risk of below the 50 basis point, and the reclassification of the loan loss provision did not have an impact. What did have an impact was the time value that has been applied, but not because not due to the reclassification. For us, the reclassification do not have any impact. We were the credit were the same city under distress. The RWA was the same. So the only thing that has been changed was the expectation of collection that has been lengthened, and that means that has created more time value. As I said, if this will be true at the end, because we will know only when we collect, means that we will have more late payment interest when we collect. So if it's true that it will take more time, it's also true that we will make more money. But unfortunately, this second component of LPI cannot be accrued in the balance sheet. In terms of profitability, I don't think that is different from the past, in a sense that the second part of the year has been always more profitable in terms of P&L than the first part of the year. When I look at the result, taking away the one-off component, as Ilaria said before, actually the second Q was slightly better than the second Q of last year. If you take out of this one-off component. As also before Christian Carrese said, asked whether we could expect to eventually sell more receivable in order to achieve the target. I think that I hope that I was clear when I said that we have a treasure where we sit on. This is an amount of LPI that overall are more than under 50 million. And we can use them if we see that we may want to have more more revenue in order to be in line with our budgeted target. I will leave then to Ilaria to comment on the cost decline and whether this new level of cost is confirmed also in the second part of the year. Ilaria.
Yeah, sure. Yes, the main difference in terms of cost between Q1 and Q2 was the contribution to the Single Resolution Fund. The contribution in the first quarter was higher, which was the ordinary component, was higher than the contribution, the extraordinary component that affected the P&L in the second quarter. So really, the cost base related to Q2 can be, you know, excluding the contribution to the Single Resolution Fund, can be a good estimate for the cost trend up to year end. Let's remember that in the third quarter of the year, we would expect the contribution to the deposit scheme, which is in the region of 2 million.
Thank you. Just as a follow-up, usually in the third quarter of the year, you update your models for the calculation of LPIs. I'm wondering if you expect some positive income coming from this process also in 2021.
I think that last year, then I will leave to Ilaria maybe to answer, but last year the adjustment was very minimal on the third quarter. and I think that this year we have to do all the calculation, but if there will be any adjustment, I don't think that it could be more than what was last year, probably even less, so it could be marginal, but maybe Ilaria, if you can further comment.
No, that's absolutely correct. We are not expecting a significant impact, neither positive nor negative. Let's remember that the adjustment both relates to the accrual percentage as well as the time value. As Gianluca said, the already last year the impact was not relevant, not significant, mainly due to the fact that the accrual percentage have now reached a sort of steady state compared to the past, where we were actually making year by year progressive changes. So the accrual rate is more or less has more or less reached the level whereby no further changes to be expected in the future.
Very clear. Thank you.
The next question is from Luigi Tramontana, Banca Akros. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for the presentation. On my side, first question is on the evolution of factoring margins. This decline in income generation in factoring, what is it due? Is it related to a different mix between NHS, municipalities, tax receivables, football receivables, etc.? Or is there any pricing pressure in the market? So what do we have to expect going on? And the second is, again, on the cost of risk. And the provisions. Before the reclassification of the municipalities from UTP to bad loans, the coverage of the bad loans was over 50% and of the UTPs was 15%. So what I understood is that this reclassification won't have any impact on the coverage of those positions. Is it right? And if so, why do we have to expect a cost of risk of over 40 bps in the full year, so still high also in the second half? Is it due to this impairment on CQ fees you were speaking about that you are going to take in the second half? Many thanks.
I will pick up the first question and then I will leave Ilaria to maybe further comment on the cost of risk. If you go to the page 6 of the presentation, to be honest, I don't see the pressure on margin because when you look at the adjusted income margin, which take into consideration the fees connected to the factoring, and the first half of 2020 we had 5.1%, on the first half of 2021 is 5.2%. What has changed was the outstanding, so the amount of profit, not the yield, and this is justified, as I said, with the two main drivers, the outstanding, the tax receivable, because they have a longer duration, and that means if we buy assets with shorter duration, clearly we need to pick up outstanding in order to be able to generate the same in absolute term, not in yield term, amount of revenue. And the second was a speed up of some payment due to extra money that the government has put forward to some of the municipality, and that allow them to speed up some payment. Without this means that everything is resolved and there's no problem, absolutely this is not the case, but they try to use the money as much as they can in order to give money to the real economy, to the supplier, and to a certain extent we are one of the suppliers because we buy from supplier, and as you know, the public administration is obliged by law to pay in the credit in chronological term, so they cannot pay somebody that have invoiced them after the invoice that we have bought, but they have to go in chronological order. So the attitude to try to draw, to put some additional money to the economy, that certainly have created some speed up of payment, which end up to reduce the outstanding. But if you look at this adjusted income margin, I don't see there the yield pressure on the factoring product. Maybe Ilaria, if you want to comment on the cost of risk, even though let me only say one thing, that it is correct that the coverage is not going to change, so the sum of the two will not change. But maybe Ilaria, if you want to comment more.
Yeah, sure. Yes, let's start from what the coverage rate was in Q1 before the change we made to the classification of the cities in conservatorship. The coverage ratio of the bad loans in Q1 was around 52-53%, while the coverage ratio for the UTPs was around 15%, which means that the position versus cities in conservatorship had a lower coverage than clearly positions that were already classified in bad loans. Now, we moved these positions from UTPs to bad loans, but we didn't change at all the methodology, our methodology, in order to calculate the provisions related to those, you know, positions, apart from the adjustment to the time value, which Gianluca mentioned and which I mentioned as well, which was not related to the movement of these exposures from one bucket to another, but was simply related to a fine-tuning of our model, underlying model, suggested by the Bank of Italy. The result of that is that the amount of bad loans clearly increased by an equivalent amount of a decrease in UTPs. The positions, the exposures that were moved to bad loans didn't really have a changed coverage. And as a result of that, the coverage ratio of the bad loans, the average coverage ratio, decreased because, you know, the result of the combination of a fewer position with a higher coverage rate with much bigger positions with a lower average coverage rate was such that the average coverage rate for the category went down to 27%. For the same rationale, the coverage ratio of the positions that remained in UTP moved up again simply because of the maths, and it moved from around 15% to around 29%. Now, going forward, provided that we are happy and satisfied with these levels of coverage, we are not expected to make any additional change, at least given the current background, to the coverage ratio. And as a result of that, the cost of risk in the second part of the year will readjust towards levels which are more in line with what we have seen in the past, which means around or slightly below 40 basis points.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Garbi, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you also for the question. Let me wish to all of you some nice weekend, but also some happy holidays for the one that will take some day off. And we will have we will meet at the next conference call for the third quarter results. Thank you very much.